Okay, take your Bibles this morning. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to preach about something that I have actually, I'm sure I've talked about it before. We spent some time back when we first started the church teaching through the book of Revelation. So I know I've spoke about this subject before, but I haven't preached on it in a while. And so I'm going to preach this morning. And here's the title of the message. Are you rapture ready? Are you rapture ready? We're going to preach about the rapture this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you find your place, stand with me together as we honor the Word of God as we read it together this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this great subject we're going to talk about this morning. Lord, I tell you, I know the world's going nuts, but Lord, as Christians, our future's bright. And Lord, I'm thankful for you and all you've done, Lord. And I'm thankful you came the first time as baby Jesus, but I'm so glad you're coming the next time as King Jesus. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day we're going to see you. Help us as Christians to stay faithful until that time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Are you rapture ready? You know, one thing I found out is that people are curious about how the world's going to end. I mean, listen, folks, Hollywood has capitalized on the curiosity and fear people have about how it's all going to come crashing down, according to them. I did a little research and I found the movies made by decades about end of the world type scenarios. All right, in the 1950s, there were 13 movies made on that subject. In the 1960s, 24. In the 1970s, 36. 80s, 36. The 90s, 35. But I thought this interesting. From 2000 to 2009, there were 63, almost double from the previous decade. And then in 2010 to 2018, the decade's not even over, and there's already been 74 movies made about end-of-the-world type scenarios. That means in the last 60 years, there's been almost 300 Hollywood movies made about how the world's going to end. As I'm out and about talking to people, knocking on doors, and just having general conversation, people have a natural curiosity about this subject. Well, I've got good news for you today, all right? You don't have to leave it to Hollywood and fiction writers to know what's going to happen. Amen? You say, well, how can you be so confident about that? Because I've got a source that spells it out all in great detail, and I promise you, the source I'm getting it from is true. Amen? It's from the Word of God. And so I want to talk to you this morning and preach on this subject. Are you rapture ready? Now, in order to be rapture ready, the first thing we need to do is understand what that word means and what this thing is called the rapture. Because a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about it. But let me say this. It's not one preacher's opinion versus another preacher's opinion. It's what God says in His Word about it. So I'm going to show you exactly from the Bible. I'm going to explain it to you in a very simple way about what the rapture is and try to answer some questions for you about it. First of all, what is the rapture? Well, according to the Scripture, there's coming a day in which Jesus Christ is going to call out of this world His church to be in heaven with Him. This is the event known as the rapture. You say, well, why is it called that? I mean, and it's true. The word rapture is not even found in the Bible. Why is it found? Why do we call it that? Well, in verse 17 of our text, the Bible says that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. Caught up together. Now that phrase, caught up together, that comes from a Greek word, and the Greek word is harpazo, okay? And it means to pull or carry away. Well, back in the early days, of course the Scripture was written, a lot of the folks back in that day spoke Latin. And in Latin, the phrase caught up is where we get, is the word rapturo. And from that, the English word rapture comes from that. So the word rest, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the doctrine of the rapture is in the Bible. It's called the great calling away, or the great catching together. By the way, that shouldn't throw you off, okay? A lot of our English words are derived from Latin. Okay? Like, for example, the word villa. When I say someone is staying in a villa, that simply means house. The word villa is a Latin word. How about this word? Antiqua. Right? What do you think we get our English word? What English word comes from Antiqua? Antique, right? It means old. The word pictura, that's a Latin word. Where we get our English word picture from, okay? So the English language is built around Latin phrases. So just because you don't see the word rapture in the Bible doesn't mean the doctrine is not there, okay? The rapture is the next prophetic event on God's calendar. Now, I like studying Bible prophecy, and when I was younger, a few years ago, before I started pastoring here, I really was into it a lot. And I studied a whole lot of it, and man, it just excited me about it. You know that a lot of the Bible is prophecy. It's when God would tell events that were going to happen in the future. And to be honest with you, folks, most of those events have already been fulfilled. Okay? But there are some events that tend toward the end of this age, the end of humanity, if you will, that we're still waiting for them to be fulfilled. So what's going to happen next? Okay? Where are we at in God's line of prophecy? Well, the next event to happen is the rapture of the church. Okay? I mean, folks, listen. Look around. See what's going on. All right? I don't advise you to watch the news unless you want to be really depressed. All right? But if you watch the news, you read a newspaper, you realize this world literally is going crazier by the day. I mean, who would have thought in 2018 that there's a state considering banning the Bible? California is considering legislation to ban the Bible. An article just came out a couple weeks ago in GQ magazine talking about how irrelevant the Bible is. Nobody reads it. Nobody believes it. It's just an old book that's all had a bunch of outdated stuff in it. I mean, listen, that's just two of illustration after illustration I could give you. I mean, listen, this world is going crazy. I mean, I think literally people sense something is about to happen. What's going to happen? Well, the rapture is the first event. It's the first domino, if you will, that gets tipped, that sets everything else in motion for God to end this thing. Okay? And so the rapture is the great calling away of God's people into heaven. So when you hear that word, you'll know what it means. All right? Now, let's talk about this. How will the rapture happen? Okay, how will it happen? Well, in our text there, the Bible gives us in detail how it's going to happen. In verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." So here's how it's going to happen according to the Bible. Alright? When God the Father gives the signal, Jesus is going to descend to the clouds. Okay? By the way, let me just say this. The rapture is not the second coming. Okay? Jesus is going to come back to the earth a second time. And you hear that quite a bit. Jesus is coming again. And He is going to come again. But the rapture is not technically the second coming. Because at the rapture, Jesus doesn't come to the earth. He comes to the clouds. Okay? And so the Lord's going to descend to the clouds. And here's what's going to happen. Then the Bible says He's going to descend with a shout. All right? Jesus is going to shout something. What's He going to say? Well, we don't know for sure, but Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, is a picture of the rapture. It's when John, the apostle, on the island of Patmos, Jesus appeared to him and told him the things that were going to happen, and he penned the book of Revelation. And we see here in chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, "And after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was it were the voice of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither." Okay? So, Jesus is going to say something along those lines. Come up hither. Or for us in southern Indiana, He's going to say, hey y'all, get up here. Okay? And so, at least maybe that's how we're hearing. I don't know. Alright? But either way, He's going to shout something. He's going to say, come up here, or get up here, or something along those lines. Come up hither. Okay? So that's what's going to happen. He's going to come to the clouds. He's going to shout. Then the Bible says that the archangel is going to shout with the voice of the Lord Himself shall descend to heaven with the shout with the voice of the archangel. Okay? The archangel's going to shout something. We don't know what exactly that's going to be, but something's going to happen here. And I thought it interesting, if you study the Bible, there are three archangels mentioned in the Scripture. Now, the Bible tells us that God's company of angels are innumerable. Okay? But there's three specific archangels we have the names of in the Bible. The first one is Lucifer. Okay? Who we know now as the devil, as Satan. And when God made Lucifer, Lucifer's job was to lead the worship in heaven. That was his job. In fact, the book of Ezekiel tells us that within him is created pipes and tabrets. That means when Lucifer spoke, he spoke music. I think it's interesting that that is part of who he is. And I'm not preaching about this morning, but let me just say that's why it's important that you keep the right music in your life, not the wrong music. Amen? And so Lucifer was the archangel. Then the Bible talks about another archangel named Michael. Michael is, if you study him in the Bible, he is one that leads the warriors in heaven. He would be maybe the one that would lead God's army of angels. And then there's another one mentioned as Gabriel. And Gabriel was the messenger angel. And so I don't know which archangel, we know it's not Lucifer, whether it's going to be Gabriel or Michael or maybe another one God hasn't even named. We don't know, but the archangel is going to shout something. And then here's what's going to happen. The Bible says the trump of God is going to sound. All right? The trump of God. By the way, if you study the Scripture, you find in Scripture that trumpets are very important in the Bible. In fact, in the Old Testament, trumpets were used to signify very important things. They were a signify for the nation of Israel to gather to war, or a call to assemble, or a call to order. All right? Now, I'm not for sure what the trumpet's going to sound like, but it may sound something like this. You ready? I don't know about y'all, that gives me goosebumps hearing it. Okay? I don't know. I don't know what it's going to sound like, but the Bible says there's a trumpet that's going to sound. Amen? And so that trumpet is going to signify the gathering together of the Christians as God sounds the trumpet. Jesus is going to come from heaven, and He's going to shout, the archangel's going to shout, the trumpet's going to sound. By the way, this is going to happen very, very fast, and I'll show you that in just a minute. Okay? And then here's what happens. Okay? The Bible says that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. All right? What God's going to do is going to every single person that's a Christian that's ever died, He's going to allow their bodies to raise up into the air. Now, don't think that I'm trying to teach here a false doctrine known as soul sleeping. There's some false doctrines out there that teach that when you die, that you don't go to heaven, you don't go to hell, that your body just sleeps in the grave. Let me tell you, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that when we die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? So, when you die as a Christian, when you take your final breath on earth, you take your next breath in heaven. Okay? And let me just say this, people in heaven aren't just orbs of light floating around. Remember the story in Luke 16 where Lazarus and the rich man? The rich man recognized Abraham. By the way, think about this for a minute, okay? The rich man had never even met Abraham, but yet he knew who he was. So yes, we have bodies in heaven, okay? But there's something interesting here that God is going to take our physical bodies and use them to somehow, a part of them, to create our glorified bodies. Okay? And by the way, let me say this. The Scripture teaches this. The people that are in heaven now are not in their glorified body that they're going to have forever. The Christians in heaven right now aren't going to get their glorified bodies until the rapture. Even the Christians in heaven are waiting for the rapture. Amen? Okay? The Bible gives indication to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The Bible says this, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Listen to this. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness. It's raised in power. It's sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body. There is a spiritual body. And the Bible clearly teaches that at the rapture, Christians are going to get what's known as their glorified body. Man, I can't wait for the upgraded model. Amen. It's going to be awesome. I have a whole Bible study that I do that teaches about what our glorified bodies are going to be capable of. Amen. Let me just say, you're going to like it. Okay? And it's better than Bionic Man. All right? There you go. That's what 6 Million Dollar Man, Bionic Woman. There you go. ago. Better than any of that stuff. Amen? And so that's going to happen at the rapture. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then the Bible says, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So there's clearly going to be Christians alive that happen when the rapture happens that will be alive on the earth at that time. So the sequence of events is this. Okay? The Lord's going to descend from heaven. He's going to shout. The archangel's going to shout. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise. And then we which are alive. And by the way, I believe this with all my heart. I'm not setting a date, but I believe with all my heart. I believe we're the rapture generation. I believe the Scripture teaches that or alludes to everything that's going on in our day and age. Okay? And we'll talk about timing in just a minute. But we're going to meet Him in the clouds. And don't you love that phrase? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen? Man, I love that. I can't wait till the day that we can be with the Lord forever. Now, the Bible also teaches this, that this thing's going to happen very, very fast. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is another passage that talks about the rapture. And it says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That means not everybody's going to die. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So here's the phrase the Scripture uses to describe how this is going to happen. It's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. Now most people, when you say the twinkling of an eye, they think of this right here. Alright? That right there. Okay? Alright? Listen, that's not a twinkle, that's a blink. By the way, I should have done the research on this. I'm not sure how many times we blink in a day. Let's just say it's a whole lot, alright? Okay? No, that's not the twinkling. If you study that phrase, twinkling out, okay, what it means, it literally refers to the time it takes for the eye to recognize light. Now listen, folks, you can't even comprehend how fast that is. Because it just happens naturally. I mean, light travels at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. Okay? And your eye, I mean, there's no even human way to calculate how fast the blink of an eye is. You know what he's trying to tell us here? It's going to happen very, very fast. It's just boom, it's going to happen. And why it's going to happen so fast is because the fact that there's not going to be time to prepare once it happens. Sorry, if you're waiting to get saved, well, I'm going to wait till I hear the shout. There ain't going to be time. I'm going to wait until the trumpet sounds. There ain't going to be time. You got to prepare now for that event. Okay? So what is the rapture? We've defined what it is. We've defined how it's going to happen. Now let me answer this question. Why is it going to happen? Okay? Why is it going to happen? Well, it's going to happen so God can begin His plan to end the age of human history as we know it. Okay? By the way, folks, the world is going to end. Okay? But it's going to end according to God's plan and God's timetable. There's coming a time on this earth, and I believe in the very near future, known as the tribulation period. It begins with the rapture. The rapture happens. And then after the rapture happens, and I'm going to give you scripture for this, by the way. This isn't my opinion. This is what the Bible says. A man called the Antichrist is going to arise on the scene. And when the Antichrist comes, the Bible talks about he's going to come as a rider on a white horse and has a bow. But the thing is, he doesn't have any arrows in that bow. What that means is, he's going to come on the scene as a man of peace. By the way, think about this for a minute. You can't have peace before first you have what? War, right? What in the world is happening right now before our very eyes across this globe? I mean, folks, we are on the brink. I mean, there's war getting ready to break out, it seems like, everywhere. Okay? The Antichrist is going to come on the scene, and he is going to, through peace, institute a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world currency. And by the way, if you begin studying where we're at now, all these things are ready to fall in place. A one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world currency. It's all there, ready to happen. And so the Bible tells us then, after the rapture happens, this horrible time, known as the tribulation period, is going to start upon the earth. Now, I by no means have time to go through and do a study about this today in the book of Revelation, but let me just give you some highlights, okay, through the chapters of Revelation. When Antichrist comes out, along with that, according to Revelation chapter 6, there's going to be a red horse that rides, and these are figuratively speaking here, and there's going to be peace taken from the earth. The Bible says a black horse is going to ride, famines and inflation is going to happen. Then a pale horse, death and hell follows that. The Bible says also there's going to be a great earthquake. Then there's going to be judgment come upon this earth, known as the seven trumpet judgments. There's going to be hail and fire that fall. The sea's going to be turned to blood. The water's going to be made bitter. The heavens are going to be smitten. Demons are going to be released out of hell to torture people. There's another group of judgments called the seven thunders. And they're so horrible that God told John, don't even write what they're going to be about. I don't even want the human mind to understand what the thunder's going to be about. Seal them up. So we have no idea what the seven thunder judgments are going to be, but they were so bad, God said, don't even write about them. And then after that, there's something known as the seven vial judgments, where there's grievous sores that are going to come upon mankind. Again, whatever water's left is going to be turned to blood. The sun is going to scorch men with fire. Darkness is going to be there. Rivers are dried up. There's going to be a great earthquake, and stones are going to fall from heaven that weigh about 100 pounds. Listen, folks, the tribulation is so bad, it's so horrible, that Jesus said it like this in Matthew 24:21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. He said there's never been a time this bad, there never's going to be another time like it that's going to be this bad. It's going to be horrible. And for a 7-year stretch, As the devil comes and embodies the Antichrist is going to rule, and there's going to be mass murder to those who don't follow him. God's going to pour his judgment out upon this earth. It's going to be a horrible, horrible time. And at the end of those 7 years, man, I love these verses. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16 is when Jesus is going to make his appearance at the second coming. Let me read these verses to you. Amen. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 19, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven follow him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. And that's none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. At the end of that 7-year tribulation time, Jesus is going to come back on his white horse. And by the way, the Bible says the armies which are in heaven will follow him. That's us, by the way. Amen. And that's why, and we'll talk about this in just a second, there's no such thing as a post-trib rapture. Because we come with him. We're with him at the end of the tribulation. Okay? How could it be a post-trib rapture? We get raptured and then come right back with him. It doesn't make any sense. Okay? And so we'll be with him. And Jesus is going to come and he's going to end this thing. And all the armies of the world are gathered together to fight against Jesus Christ. What a futile effort, by the way. Could you imagine thinking you're going to take Jesus out with a tank? Take Jesus out with a gun? Take Jesus out with a sword? I mean, listen, that's how delusional the Antichrist is to deceive the armies of the world. They're literally going to gather together in that great valley of Megiddo there, right outside of Israel, what's known as the Battle of Armageddon. And they're going to gather and they're going to try to fight against Jesus. The Bible says all he does is speak. The Bible says he'll destroy him with the word of his mouth. And literally, when Jesus Christ speaks, the book of Zephaniah tells us that literally their flesh is going to melt off their body. Their eyes are going to consume in their eye sockets. And they're literally going to turn into a pool of blood. By the way, why does Hollywood try to add to the Bible? Isn't that cool anyway, how God does it? I mean, just stick with the word. Amen? And so that's the end of the 7-year tribulation. Jesus Christ comes and he establishes kingdom on this earth. I just gave you a lot of Bible prophecy in about 10 minutes, okay? And so there's no way I can go in depth at it, but we'll teach more about it some other time. So what is the rapture? It's the great calling away of the Church of Jesus Christ. How's it going to happen? We already explained that. Christ is going to come to the clouds. He's going to shout. The archangel is going to shout. The trumpet's going to sound. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up with them in the clouds. Why is it going to happen? It's going to happen so the church can be taken out of the way, so God can then come and end this thing known as human history. Here's a question you probably wonder about, and we get asked about a lot. When's the rapture going to happen? When's it going to happen? Well, let me give you the answer to that. Nobody knows. Okay? It's an unsigned event. By the way, let me say this. It can happen at any time. The Bible teaches it's an imminent event. Okay? There's nothing that has to happen before the rapture of the church can take place. Nothing. Okay? In fact, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus said that piece of it, because the disciples asked him the same thing. He was teaching his disciples about these things. And they're like, Lord, when's it going to happen? Please tell us. We want to know. By the way, who doesn't want to know, right? These are exciting things. Who wouldn't want to know? And Jesus said, you're not privileged to that information. He said, only the Father knows. And when He's ready, that's when it's going to happen. Okay? So nobody knows the day and hour. And that's why these people that try to sell a book by writing when they know, they're nothing but a liar. Okay? By the way, they've been proven wrong and wrong and wrong, and anybody that tries to set a date is going to be proven wrong. Okay? I'm not a date setter. All right? I don't believe the Scripture tells us we should not try to set a date. Okay? You remember a few years back, it was Y2K, right? Y2K. You better stock up. I mean, the world's going to end. Y2K. And then it was, remember this one? December. December 21st, 2012. Why? Because the Mayans wrote a calendar. The world's going to end December 21st, 2012. Well, guess what? We were all here December 22nd, 2012, weren't we? All right? And then recently, there's been all kinds of other predictions. There was a man named Harold Camping, and he was a false prophet out west, and he convinced his people that the world was going to end. And I want to say it was in April or May of 2013 or 14 or something, and he convinced people to sell all their stuff and travel around and preach judgment to the whole world. Well, you know what? Those were some pretty disappointed people on the following day. Okay? All I'm saying is this. If somebody starts telling you when the rapture is going to happen, they don't know what they're talking about. You know what you need to say in your mind? False prophet, if they say that. Okay? Nobody knows the day and hour. But let me say this. Even though we don't know the exact timing, the Bible does say we can know the general time of when it's going to be. Let me give you some verses on this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says, For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Okay? And by the way, Jesus over and over described His coming at the rapture as a thief in the night. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, here's the deal, okay? If you know when the thief's coming, you're going to be ready for him, right? I mean, look, if I knew someone was going to try to break in my house / my church, all right? And you know what? Listen, I promise you the Glock's going to be out. All right, the AR is going to be out, pointing out the door, waiting for them to come in. Okay, you say, preacher, would you shoot somebody that tried breaking in your house? Yeah, and I'd go back to bed after I did it, okay? I have no qualms about defending myself or my family, or let me say this, or my church, by the way, amen? Okay, and so, I believe in the Second Amendment, and I must always have a firearm on me at all times, and anyway, all that was free, by the way, okay, and just to make you feel a little safe, and if that makes you feel a little nervous, then you're just going to have to get used to it, amen, I'm not giving my guns up, and so, but here's the thing, Jesus said it's coming as a thief in the night, you don't know when He's going to come, and He said, listen, my coming's going to be that way, you don't know exactly when I'm coming, all right, so you got to be prepared, is what He was trying to say here, and then He says this, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Here He gives another illustration. Okay, you ladies understand this. The doctors give you a due date, right? Now, I understand the whole inducing thing, all right? But before modern medicine of inducing labor, they'd give you a due date. But you know what? That wasn't necessarily the date your child's coming. It could come a little earlier. It could come a little later. But here's the thing. When you felt the baby start kicking a little bit, when the pooch started getting bigger, all right? When you knew it was about the 9-month mark, then you understood the baby's coming soon. We don't know exactly when it is, but we know the baby's going to come soon, okay? And so that's another illustration He gave here. But then He says this, listen to this. He says, so look, you're not going to know what's going to happen. It's going to come as a thief in the night. It's at the woman in travail and all that. But listen to this verse. But ye brethren, talking about the church, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day, and we're not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Here's what Jesus said. Now look, I'm not telling you my church. He's saying to His church, church, I'm not telling you the exact time I'm coming, but when it comes, it shouldn't surprise you. Because you are not children of the darkness. You ought to not have your spiritual heads in the sand. You ought to see and look at what's going on. You ought to discern the times, know what's happening around you. And by the way, you ought to live every day like it's the day I'm coming. You ought to expect me every single day that this could be the day that I come. Okay? And so because of that, we can know the general season of when we think the rapture is going to happen. Okay? Remember something, folks. This world is not falling apart. This world's falling in place. Okay? Let me say that again. This world's not falling apart. According to the Bible, it's falling in place. And there's different signs the Bible talks about that we can look at and we can see what's going on and understand that we are very near the rapture of the church. There's some things that have gone on in our world and are going on in our world that give us some clue. The first thing we have is the regathering of Israel. Okay? 1948, Israel become a nation again. Listen, folks, that's never happened before, ever. Where a nation that once existed was put out of existence, then comes back and exists again. That's only happened one time to the nation of Israel. And I think it's interesting here that next Tuesday, May 14th, we're celebrating the 70th anniversary of Israel becoming a nation again. Okay? Now look, again, I'm not setting a date. I'm just saying that's significant. Amen? What's going to happen? I don't know. All I'm saying is it's significant. Okay? 1948, they become a nation again. So the regathering of Israel is a sign that, in fact, Jesus said, when you see the fig tree bud, which is a sign of the nation of Israel, okay, that you ought to see what's going on. And then he goes and makes a statement and says this, that generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And most Bible scholars believe what he's saying is that when you see Israel, or the fig tree bud, which is the sign of Israel, know ye that that signifies the last generation. Okay? We've seen that in our lifetime. Okay? The regathering of Israel. Number two, the Bible talks about the great falling away. And by the way, folks, it's so sad to me. It breaks my heart. But listen, I hate seeing all the Christians, all the preachers, all those that are falling away from the faith of Jesus Christ. But the Bible predicts it, a great falling away, a rise of persecution. We're seeing that happen all across the globe and, sad to say, even in America, the rise of persecution. How about this? The groaning of creation. The Bible talks about the creation itself is groaning to be delivered. And all these crazy things going on, these animal die-offs, these strange noises that people can't explain, all these odd things of creation are a sign. How about this? The Bible talks about the perplexity of nations. It means the nations are going to be in turmoil. There's going to be all kinds of things going on in the nations. Folks, that's exactly what's happening right now. How about this? The faint not mentality. Jesus said, in an hour you think not, so cometh the Son of Man. Let me tell you what saddens me, is the fact that most Christians don't think about or live their life like Jesus could come. It's the think not mentality. And you know what? I get it. We're all busy. We all have life to live. But you know what? Let me tell you something. As Christian, you can't afford to get so wrapped up into your life, so wrapped up into what you're doing, that you never think about or never live for the fact that Jesus is soon to come. Amen? The think not mentality. And then you know what, to me, the greatest sign of all this is the coming together of all the signs. Now there's been generations that's seen some of these things happen, but there's never been a generation like our generation where all these things are coming together at the same time. Okay? So all that to say this, we don't know when for sure the rapture is going to happen, but we do know it's going to happen. Amen? And He told us that we're not to be in darkness, that day should overtake us as a thief, that we're looking, we're paying attention, we're sober, we're vigilant as Christians. Let me say this. We, as not just Baptists, but as Bible believers, we believe in what's known as a pre-tribulation rapture. Pre-tribulation, that means this, that the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation. Now, some people are going to try to tell you that the rapture won't happen until the middle of the tribulation or the end of the tribulation. But I'm telling you, that's not what the Scripture teaches. There's illustration after illustration of a pre-tribulation rapture. Think about this for a minute. A lot of times people want to refer to Noah and the ark as a picture of the rapture, as a picture of Noah safe in the ark before the flood came. But in all reality, if you back up the next chapter, you find a man named Enoch. Okay? You know what it says about Enoch? It says that Enoch walked with God and God translated him because he had this testimony that he pleased God. You know, Enoch is a picture of the church. I don't know if some people even knew this or not, but I believe it's Genesis chapter 5. Enoch lived to be 365 years old, and then he was just out doing his business, living his life, and one day the Bible says God just came and took him out, translated him. He just took him to heaven without dying. Listen, that's a picture of the rapture. What's Noah and his family a picture of? They're a picture of Israel. Because the nation of Israel is going through the tribulation. Just like the ark went through the flood, the nation of Israel is going through the tribulation, and God's going to miraculously deliver them, just like He delivered Noah through the flood. Okay? Not only that, the Bible tells us that In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." Oh, listen to this. "Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." Here's what he says here in those verses. He says, right now, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. By the way, we can testify to that, right? The mystery of iniquity, talking about the spirit of Antichrist, it's all over this earth. It's already working. But then he makes this statement. He says, "Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Who's he talking about there, folks? Who is the one that's holding some of this stuff back? Who is the restrainer? Who's the one that keeps the wickedness a little bit at bay? You know who it is? The Holy Spirit of God is who it is. By the way, where's the Holy Spirit live at? Talk to me. Where does he live at? He lives in us, right? If you're saved, he's living in you. So the Bible says that the wicked one can't be revealed until he is taken out of the way. Well, think about this. How can you take God out of the way of anything? You know what it's talking about? Taken out of the way through the Christians in the rapture. Listen, folks, literally, we are the restraining force that's keeping the devil from unleashing hell on earth. We are it as Christians. Remember the Bible tells in Matthew chapter 5, we're to be salt and we're to be light? Do you ever think about that? What's salt do? It preserves is what it does. We are the preserving factor of this wicked world as Christians. Amen? And so we see that. And then not only that, in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, those chapters are dealing with letters to the churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor. And those churches were seven literal churches, but they also represent seven ages of church history. So in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus is talking to his church. Remember I mentioned a while ago about Revelation chapter 4 when John saw the door opened in heaven and a voice that said, "Come up hither"? Well, that's a picture of the rapture, because it's very interesting. After Revelation chapter 4, you don't see the church mentioned again until the very end of the book when we're all in heaven with Jesus. You know what that means? The church isn't going to be here for the tribulation. Okay? So listen, folks, just settle it in your heart. Amen? Not only that, the Bible says that God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know all the arguments because I've heard them, I've read them, I've talked to people that believe them. Let me just say this. As a Christian, settle in your heart, if you're saved, if you're born again, you're going in the rapture before the tribulation. Now, if you want to believe that you're going to be here for part of that, go ahead. Let that keep you up at night. Worry about an Antichrist. Worry about demons coming out of hell and tormenting you, if you want. If you want to believe that, go ahead, believe it. But I'm just saying this, that's not what the Bible teaches, and you're saving yourself a lot of peace and hope and knowing that God's going to take care of you and get you out of here before the tribulation starts. Okay? And so it's going to happen before the tribulation. And then let's answer this last question here today. Who will be taken in the rapture? Who's going to be taken in this great event known as the rapture? Okay? Well, the Bible answers that for us. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God be bring with him." So here's the answer to that. You will be taken in the rapture if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Okay? He is your ticket out of here. Okay? He's your ticket. Listen, folks, belonging to a church isn't going to get you to heaven. Isn't going to allow you to be taken in the rapture. Now, I want you to belong to White River Baptist Church. I think it's a great church for you to belong to. Okay? All right? Because you got such a handsome pastor. That's all I'm saying. All right? But no, just kidding. Just kidding. Forgive me, Lord. All right? Now my face is going to break out in pimples today for saying that. All right? But no, seriously, I want you to belong to White River Baptist Church. I love this church. I love what God's doing here. But you know what? Signing a membership role isn't going to get you to heaven. Okay, the only way to avoid the tribulation, avoid hell, go to heaven, is by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 24. It says this in verse 40. "Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Literally, Jesus says, here's what's going to happen. People are going to be about their daily business. They're going to be doing their daily things. People are going to be working together. People are going to be, ladies will be having fellowship together. And all of a sudden, boom, when the rapture happens, one's taken, one's left. Okay? Now listen, folks, you don't want to be the one left. And what determines whether you're taken or left is whether or not you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? Now listen, how then, all that, by the way, was introduction. All right? You ready for the message? All right? Three simple points. Are you rapture ready? How do you know you're rapture ready? Know that you're saved. Amen. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're rapture ready. Amen. All right. As far as going to heaven. Okay. So just make sure you're saved. Now, I preach about salvation a lot here. I preached hard on it the last 5 weeks. And so I'm not going to go through the whole thing that I normally do. But let me just say this. If you don't know for sure that when you die, you're going to heaven, let's get that settled today before you leave here. Amen? All right? So number one, know you're saved. Number two, do everything possible to make sure other people are saved. Everything you can, folks. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe every single person that gets saved in our day and age is not just being saved from hell. I believe they're being saved from the tribulation hour. I want you to think about the people you live next to, the people you work with, your friends, your family. I mean, if we went to Revelation and began reading all these horrible things, would you want someone literally living through a horror movie times about 1,000? No way. Okay? We literally could be their only lifeline so that they can escape those types of things. Amen? So do everything possible to make sure other people are saved. And number three, make every day count for the Lord. Every day count. Let me tell you why I try to do what I do as a Christian. Okay? Why do I try to live the way I live? Why do I try to, you know, live a certain way, do certain things, not do certain things? Why is that important to me? Okay? It's not so I can get to heaven. Okay? That's already been done, established. If I were to go out today, God forbid I would do something like this, but if I'd go out and turn into a mass murderer, when I die, I'm still going to heaven. Because that was settled on September the 13th, 1989, as a 9-year-old boy when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Okay? I'm not working to get to heaven. But let me tell you why, as Christians, we ought to be busy working for the Lord and trying to please the Lord. Because the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Because let me tell you what's going to happen in heaven while the tribulation is going on down here on earth. Two things are going to happen. First of all, there's going to be this great event called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Amen? So why do we eat all the time at White River Baptist Church? Because that's one of the first things we're going to do when we get to heaven. We're going to eat. Amen? I'm just trying to prepare you for heaven. Amen? All right? And Brother Bob thinks my smoked pork's going to be in heaven. I don't know about that, but he thinks it might be. All right? So here's the thing. That's going to happen. It's going to be awesome. I don't know what it's all going to be, but it's going to be awesome. So the marriage supper of the Lamb. Number two, the judgment seat of Christ. You know what that is? That's a time where as Christians, we stand before Jesus Christ and give an account of our stewardship. And by the way, if you're saved, you're a steward. God's given you life. God's given you time. God's given you talents. He expects you to use them for Him. Okay? So you know what He's going to do? He's going to call us all into account. That word there talks about, it's like an accounting term, like an account would use. And we're literally going to have to stand before Him, and He's going to want us to give an account of how we lived our lives as Christians. Now listen, folks, I'm telling you, that's why it's important that you do certain things. Amen? That's why it's important that I try to keep the preaching hot around here to motivate you to get out and do things for Jesus Christ, not so you can go to heaven, but so when you stand before Him, you won't be ashamed to see Him. I mean, folks, He's going to look at us. With the eyes, the Bible says His eyes are as a flame as fire. His hands, those nail-scarred hands, He's going to look at us. He's going to want to know why we didn't live for Him the way we should have. Now listen, the standard's not perfection. Thank God for that. Amen. It's not perfection. But listen, are you trying to be what God wants you to be? Are you trying to do anything for God? Are you trying to reach anybody for the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, folks, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for other people. Amen. So are you rapture ready? Well, I don't know when, but all I know is this. Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines is getting ready to take off. Amen. You're going to want to make sure you got a seat on that. Amen. And so make sure that you're ready for the rapture. Let's